This is the Microsoft Cloud Show, episode 81, where we're going to talk about how the cloud has changed 10 things in the last 10 years for small and medium businesses. Recorded live June the 4th, 2015.
Welcome to the Microsoft Cloud Show, the only place to stay up to date on everything going on in the Microsoft Cloud world, including Windows Azure, Office 365, SharePoint, Exchange, Link, and related technologies. Just the information, no marketing, no BS. I'm Chris Johnson.
And I'm Andrew Cole.
And we're just two dudes telling you how we see it.
Hey, so what's going on, AC?
It's going good, man. I'm sitting here in a hotel room one evening in Boston, Massachusetts. I'm teaching a course this week on SharePoint development training. So sitting here, staying up late, couldn't do our normal recording time. And I appreciate you being flexible with my schedule this week.
Oh, no. Thanks for getting on the blower at this time of the night.
Yeah, man. It was it's a good class going on. Yesterday was brutal. I actually had a migraine set in at around like 3:30 in the afternoon.
Ouch.
And I've only had two of those in my life. It's been like two in the last 10 years. And all of a sudden I started getting like, I don't know. Have you ever had one of these before?
Oh yeah.
Yep. Oh my God. Yeah. We get those like yellow spots and you start missing every other letter in a word.
And blotchy. And you just feel, yeah.
Oh yeah. I started to read like two or three emails and it was like trying to read a letter that was in like 6-point font when you're incredibly drunk.
Yeah.
I would finally figure out what a word was. And then I forget the entire sentence that I was in the middle of. Woke up this morning and it's like, hey, the headache is still there, but at least I could read and comprehend things. So I've just been dealing with a headache all day, but it's all good.
Oh, man. Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, fun stuff. But how about you, bud?
Oh, yeah. Things have been going well. It's getting sunny up here in Seattle, which is enjoyable. So the beautiful weather, which, you know, it's kind of a change for us up here. So I'm taking all that in. But yeah, work's going well. Nothing crazy going on, but just getting ready for this next year and, you know, that sort of thing. So lots of planning. Lots of planning.
Always fun.
Yeah. Hey, so before we go on, we did get a new review.
Oh, cool.
In iTunes, another 5-star review. And it says, best way to try, in quotes, and stay up to date. AC and CJ do a great job of getting out the relevant info and announcements from the never-ending cloudy but bright sky. By including news from the other cloud platforms, this podcast is great to get 30 to 45 minute forecast weekly. Thank you and keep up the good work, guys.
30 to 45 minutes. He might be cutting us off a little early on some of these shows.
Yeah, we get a little talky sometimes, don't we? Yeah. So that was from TGSKIMAN. I don't know. TG Ski Man. There you go. Yeah, on the 2nd of June. So thank you very much for your 5-star review. That is awesome to get that feedback.
Yeah, thank you.
But hey, so this week we are going to talk about, or the title of the show is, how the cloud has changed 10 things in the last 10 years for small and medium business. So we thought it'd be kind of interesting to look back and think, hey, if we were starting a small business today, or if we were running a small business today, what are some of the things that we would be using, some of the tools and services we'd be using from that only the cloud lets us have that we wouldn't have been able to use 10 years ago? And so some of those things might have left the office. Some of them might be services that we now consume, that sort of thing. So we've got 10 of these things. And this, I guess the important thing to remember here is this: we're talking about from a small business point of view, really. We're not really talking about enterprise software, which we spend a ton of time on in this show. So this is more for folks running their own little businesses or things like that.
Yeah, and it's not so much just the software stuff too. It's also, you know, how has your business changed, or how are things different? I mean, from the time if you first started a business back in 2005. Then, you know, what part of that business, either as the individuals running the business or the individuals involved, or as CJ said, of just the software that was involved or the tools that we use or now that we don't have to use now, how did it actually impact the business in different ways? We got a couple different ideas that we can definitely run through.
Yeah. And we sort of picked 10 year as the time frame because, you know, 10 years ago was 2005. And so the internet was obviously a thing. People were using email and that sort of stuff. There was a bunch of a bunch of internet-related kind of stuff going on, but there was, you know, there's been so much change in that period of time that I think we forget how daunting, you know, setting up a small business or running a business without cloud software was. So why don't we get stuck into it?
Sounds good to me.
You want to kick things off?
Sure. Well, I guess I'll do the lowest hanging fruit of all. And that's easily got to be email.
Yeah.
You know, when you first did this, I mean, there were some hosted email solutions that were out there, but they weren't for business. They were all for customers, for consumers. And, you know, when you look at it today, when you run across a company and they say their company email is at Hotmail or at Gmail or at Outlook, it doesn't give it a very professional feel or professional look at all to it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I heard the other day that when people see CVs, you know, resumes with an AOL account, they just discard them.
Oh, ouch.
Brutal, huh?
It is. It really is. Yeah. I'm glad I got rid of mine last year. it's interesting because, you know, when you started up your own business, and you wanted to have a corporate email, I mean, that usually involved, and this, I guess, goes into some of our other ones too, is that you had to have your own, you generally started had your own server, and you had your own DNS pointing to it. I remember doing that with a web startup that I was with early on in the early 2000s. And, you know, you've got to have your own, like, say, you know, Microsoft's SBS,
small business server. Yeah.
And that was like, that did a ton of stuff for you, including hosting, like Exchange in a Box for you.
Yeah. I mean, I remember my parents' small business, they got email, obviously, but they used to get it from their telco, right? From their phone provider. And they would just provide pop email addresses and that was it. And, you know, now they've got a much nicer email solution with syncing to all their devices and phones. And I remember having to tell my mother about, you know, email got popped off the server unless she checked that little box and to leave it on the server. And that's why that when she was popping to two places, she'd only get new email in each place. And then she couldn't find email in one place because one computer never got it and the other one did get it. And then attachments would live in one place and not the other. And it was just super confusing. And we just take that for granted now. It all just sort of magically syncs most of the time.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it was one of those things. The way you just explained it makes perfect sense to me when I heard it. And I was like, okay, yeah, I get it. But then trying to explain it to someone who did not live in that world that we lived in, it was like they didn't have a clue what was going on.
Oh, yeah. Like I think Hotmail was, you know, Hotmail and Gmail obviously made their mark in personal email. Hotmail started in 1996 and Gmail only really started was generally available to the public in 2007. So back in 2005, Gmail wasn't really out. It did beta out in 2004, but it wasn't really out yet. And so those services really didn't take off until just after this time. And that's when small businesses started being able to put, you know, vanity domains on these things. Like you couldn't get, you know, chrisisawesomecarshop.com and hook it up to my Hotmail for quite some time.
Yeah. So email would be the number one thing on our list. And I guess I kind of slipped in number two a little bit. And that was talking about physical boxes. So you want to pick up on that one? That's number two?
Yeah. I mean, who doesn't remember having to go buy some ludicrously expensive box that ended up in the corner of the office, you know, under a desk somewhere that nobody really, you know, everybody feared touching it, right? Because it was like, if that box went down, your files were missing, you know, you couldn't print, that sort of stuff. And so it was, the dusty old box in the corner or under a desk somewhere, and which was the sort of the office server, right? Which was, typically had some file shares on it, was your print server, and maybe was, you know, hooked up to some, maybe some coax networking, perhaps.
Oh, man.
the old 10BASE-T networking and terminations that used to get electrocuted off, that sort of thing. So,
oh, the BNZs.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Love that. I remember when somebody asked me, what do you think's changed in IT? And I said, well, the IT guys spend more time focused on services instead of running around wondering what's grounding the network because some piece of metal is lying up against those network ports. I think I was showing my age.
I'm right there with you. I did the same thing. You wonder why those little tips are all plastic? Yeah, it's not because that we sit there and we like to make them disposable. It's because the metal ones just don't cut it.
Oh, yeah, totally. So I guess server and server and networking, I guess we could call this one, right? It's not just the server, but the networking was a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
I mean, you had to do those. It was, you know, a big sort of ring of those of coax or a length of coax, right? And you had to have all the terminators and all that sort of stuff, which was pretty hardcore stuff. Although Ethernet, you know, to be fair, Ethernet in 2005 was the real deal. But
yeah,
it was tough to get your networking and your server working together nicely.
And today, I mean, now if you really do need a server, then, you know, as a small business, you don't want to do that stuff on-prem. You don't want to worry about making sure that, you know, you don't all of a sudden lose power to it and it fries the machine or something, or where power spikes and stuff. You want to take that and send it to the cloud, make it a hell of a lot easier, right? And let the cloud, let Amazon or Azure, let's host a VM up in the cloud. If you're looking on the networking side, I mean, what do you need for your small business? You just need your modem coming in from your cable or from whatever internet connection you have to your office. And then you just need a Wi-Fi router and just let everybody in the network just do Wi-Fi. I mean, just make it significantly easier. So the complexity and the burden has really fallen off a cliff and has made things not only a better solution, but an easier and a cheaper solution. It's like the way it's all supposed to be going. So
yeah, and I mean, things like printers, right? You get Wi-Fi or network-enabled printers, and they don't need a server anymore to sit there and churn stuff out and stuff like that. So things have gotten a ton easier in that regard.
Yep, absolutely.
No more dusty boxes in the corner.
No more. And hey, what goes right hand in hand with all the stuff on the servers?
Oh, gee, I don't know. Yeah.
Backups.
Backing it up.
And that's another big thing that's different. I mean, I remember one of the jobs that I had at one of the places where I worked was every week we would do tape backups of the servers that we had in the office. And it was somebody's responsibility to either take that. It depended on what we were doing that week, but it was either someone's responsibility to take the case of tapes back to their house or their apartment, so that if something happened at the office, it wouldn't happen at their apartment. Or if we got out of there early enough, then someone was responsible for taking those tapes to the safety deposit box at the bank, which unfortunately was only about 3 or 4 blocks away. So if there was something really bad that happened and it got both buildings, then, well, that was a bit of a problem.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, now with the cloud, you could have your different workstations or different laptops within your small business. You could have a business crash plan account set up for, I think it's like $100 a year. And all of the machines are just consistently backed up to the cloud with your servers. I mean, if you don't have them on-prem, you don't have to worry so much about the servers. I mean, you do want to have backups and pulling stuff off the virtual machines in case something still got corrupted and stuff, but your backup story is significantly simpler and cheaper and easier. It's just more automatic.
So much cheaper, right? I mean, these, you used to have to go buy, if you're a small business, and again, we're talking, you know, there's lots of companies that still do tape backups, but for small businesses, it was a costly exercise going and getting tape drives and the software to do it all and all that sort of stuff, and then having to rotate through tapes during the week and get offsite backups and then having to test that they actually worked. Guaranteed not many people did that, right? I vividly remember working for a company. It was before 2005, but it was back in the tape backup days and on-prem mail servers days. And our mail server got corrupted, right? Something happened to the database and it blew up. And then the tape backups didn't work for a number of weeks prior to that. And so they're all running around scrambling, trying to get these things working. It was complicated. And it was, at least, even if you didn't think it was complicated, it was still a lot of work for a small business to set up. You had to get the IT guy and do it all. And it was still tricky.
You were having a technical problem. We actually had a business problem where we didn't realize for 3 weeks that when we were bringing the tapes in and backing the tapes up and then taking them back out so that we had an offsite copy, we didn't realize that we just kept bringing in blank tapes and then taking the blank tapes back out. And we just kept leaving the ones that we actually recorded in the office. Thankfully, nothing happened. But nice. At one point, we kind of looked at each other with this, oh, wow, we've been standing here with our finger in the dam.
yeah. Now, if it was up to me, I'd just rock up to Crash Plan. If you don't know what that is, there's a bunch of services in this realm, but they've got a personal offering for home, they've got a business offering, boom, back up to the cloud, and you could back up to an external drive if you want, or to another peer computer over the internet, or up into their cloud service, and it's pretty good, pretty cheap. I use it at home. Fantastic service.
Yeah, I use it at home. I actually have a business account with them only to get the 10 machines for the account.
And
I'll tell you what, just even if you're not a small business, I'm sure we've got listeners that fall in the same camp as I do, where I'm IT support for a couple people in my family. And I got tired of dealing with backups. And I was like, I show up at their house one day, I log into CrashPlan, I download the client, I install it, add it to my account, and send it up, and it just goes from my list of 10 machines. And so I've got like probably 5 machines at my house that are on CrashPlan. And then between my mom, my dad, my mother-in-law, and my brother, all of those machines are all backing up as well. And it's just like, you know what? You're on the family account. And they're like, what's this CrashPlan thing? It's telling me that it's doing a backup. Should I stop it? Like, no, you let that happen. That's a good thing.
Yeah, no, very cool service. So
absolutely.
I'm glad that pain has gone away.
Absolutely.
Okay, so number 4 is phones and mobility, right? It used to be that you had hardwired, you know, plain old telephone service. Is that what POTS stands for? Something like that. POTS, plain old telephone service.
Huh. I didn't know that.
I think that's what it stands for. I'm pretty sure that's what it stands for. And so you got POTS phones, and it was all wired in. You know, you probably had some sort of telephony cabinet that some other person that you had to ask to come in when something didn't work had hardwired phones. And, you know, you'd probably have a mobile phone for when you left the office, but, you know, you were pretty much hardwired to your desk, right? And it was your office phone rang, and if you were, you know, out working on your laptop at the park or at a cafe or at home, you wouldn't get the call. And there were some services that did, you know, voicemail, you know, sort of email type style voicemail back then, but not often, not many, especially not accessible to the small business market.
Yeah, or like a spotty cell network. I mean, you couldn't be so many places where, you know, you take your phone, you take it inside and it wouldn't work inside. So you couldn't use your small business. Now your cell phone is your primary phone. You're going to pull that up. It's can connect to your laptop. There's lots of ways now to take a call and hand it off over to Skype or something, and to be able to just take the call in your office, but doing the whole thing over Wi-Fi or doing it over Skype, and then just having a single phone number that does it. So it greatly simplifies stuff, and not having to worry about all the different numbers that people have these days.
Oh yeah. Like, how would we be doing this? I mean, you know, we'd be calling each other and then, I don't know, like, holding a high-speed dubbing tape recorder up to the phone or something? How does that work?
I don't know.
How did people do that back then?
That's why there was not as many podcasts back then, and why it's so much easier now, where we just have a little app that's installed in Skype and just say, record while we talk.
Yeah, I guess Skype had been invented. It was around, I think it was 2003 that it was created and it first came out. So I think it was 2005 that eBay bought Skype, something like that. Mm. So, you know, it was probably starting to be used by small business, but hadn't really, you know, fully taken off, I don't suspect, by that stage.
Agreed.
Certainly not in popular use, at least, anyway.
Yeah. But, I mean, it isn't just about the phones. It's the ability to be able to work wherever. I mean, now it's easy just to say, not only is it also acceptable with work, but just saying, I'm going to go work out of the office. I'm going to go down to Starbucks or to Dunkin' Donuts, or I'm going to go work in a co-work place for the day. And you just take your laptop and take your phone and take your power cord, and you're pretty much in good shape. I mean, you can work from anywhere. That's really handy. I mean, I know I got a new car last week, and I've got to go back to Orlando to go get some stuff fixed on my car. That's about 2 hours away. And so I'm just going to go back down, and I'm just going to go drop my car off and go over to a local coffee shop, and I'm just going to work there for a few hours while they end up taking care of everything.
You know, and you work for yourself, right? And
yes.
So, like, that's saying one thing. I work for a old company, not old, but like a 40-year-old company, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I can do the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's so it's kind of ubiquitous now. I can open my laptop anywhere, and not even my own laptop. Like, I could borrow yours and just sign in and be up and running with email and all my documents and all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have problems getting access to network stuff without my laptop. We have direct access at Microsoft, so I couldn't do that off your laptop. But everything else I should be pretty solid on. I could sign into Skype for Business, and I'd get my, you know, I'd be able to take calls and get on meetings and all that sort of stuff, no problem.
And you don't feel as bad. I mean, like, this isn't even true just, I'd say, 4 years ago, but I don't feel nearly as bad that if somehow, if all of a sudden I wake up and my laptop was gone from my hotel room, I wouldn't freak out all that much. I mean, I'd be pretty pissed off about it, but I wouldn't flip out all that much and just saying, oh my gosh, look what I lost. Like, I don't really have a whole lot of stuff on my laptop anymore that I can't grab from somewhere else. Yep. My projects are all up in GitHub. My email's in Office 365. My documents are spread between, well, that's a problem I have, but my documents are spread between Google Docs and a Google Drive, Dropbox, OneDrive, Office 365. But the point being is that I'm not worried about losing anything. I've got backups. I got stuff. It's like there's nothing that's not replaceable. If I had to right now, I could blow this machine away and do a complete rebuild of the machine and not worry about losing anything.
Yeah, the only thing I really back up at home, like, that's of any worth is photos, right?
Oh, I thought you were going to say your porn.
You can get that again.
Oh, sorry. That's not backing it up. That's just sharing it. That's right. My bad.
Yeah. Sharing's caring. Yeah. So that's number four, phones and mobility.
Let's move on. So number five is going to be, and we're going to throw number five. It's kind of as a big bucket. We're going to call it software packages. So let's say you're a small business. You need to have some sort of an accounting software or some sort of accounting suite or faxing or doing some sort of document signing or some way to do like customer management. So much of that stuff, you'd end up having to buy packages to do those, or you'd have to have somebody that was dedicated doing it. Like in the businesses that I worked in, there was always a finance person or an accountant in the business. And even if it was a startup, it was usually the head boss, the one that was in charge of the company. They were in charge of the books. And you always still have somebody that's in charge of the books, but you have to have some sort of an accounting understanding. Now you don't have to have nearly the accounting understanding, because you can take advantage of things like not just QuickBooks, which did exist at the time, but you've got so many of these different packages that are available online and with help that comes with them.
Yeah. I mean, Salesforce came around in 1999. Can you believe it?
Jeez, really?
So although it was, you know, it existed, it was like 6 years old by 2005. I did not know it existed in 2005, I've got to say.
Yeah, me too.
I doubt many small business owners really knew what sort of cloud computing was and these services that they could get. So Salesforce went public in 2004. So it was getting big, obviously. But I wouldn't have exactly called that mainstream buying software on the internet at that point and using a remote service like that.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine what it would be like, you know, from CRM perspective, you know, managing, you know, probably in like an Excel doc or something, right? Or some sort of elaborate contact system or maybe an Access database or...
Yeah, we use FoxPro.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Somebody would have built something like that for a small business to manage their customers and contacts.
Oh, yeah. Not fun. Not fun at all.
No. Cool. So that's number five. Number six is... it's very unlikely you would have been doing external sharing other than via email attachments. So it's gotten very easy these days to be working on some content or on a document or presentation or what have you, and literally to send it to somebody is easy as, you know, clicking on it and saying share and then tapping the person's name or email address in, and then boom, it's gone and it's on its way. And then you can usually view that content online or, you know, click to get that doc downloaded or what have you. And gone are the days of, you know, sitting there listening to your modem grinding, trying to send a few megabyte attachment over email and then everything being out of sync again. I think we take for granted now sharing content. It used to be something that was really hard to do, and now it's just kind of ubiquitous.
You know, it is, and I still see it kind of like stump some people, because I mean, I had some people recently where we were doing some work with them, hosted virtual machines, and I told them, I was like, you know, the VMs are going to go away after a certain amount of time. And they just kind of are like, well, how do I get the files off of this? I'm like, just go send them to Dropbox. If you have a Dropbox account, you have a you have a OneDrive account, you have a Google Drive account, go log into any of them and just upload the files from the VM. And then they'll be there when you go back and get them, and they're just yours. like, oh, can you upload files to it? I'm like, it's not just a client. Yeah, you can upload files to it. You can sync. And I mean, that stuff was always so hard. I mean, you want to share a video with someone, you don't want to email it across. You want to just, I'll just stick it up in YouTube, or I'll stick it up somewhere where it can really easily be played from certain places. So yeah, it's much, much easier than it used to be. And doing that, I remember like trying to go deploy a code base to a client, and it was always, you know, you never sent them the code base. You always had to go take them the code base. So
right.
That was another big deal.
Yeah. I mean, we have a Dropbox folder that we drop stuff in for the podcast, and we'd be sending files back and forth on email, and it'd suck.
Oh God. Yeah. They would never go out.
Maybe FTP.
Oh God. I haven't heard that in a long time.
FTPing each other files. Imagine that.
Wow. That's a long time.
Yeah. That's been quite a while since I've had to use FTP. Yeah. Anywho. So that's, I think, yeah, sharing, taking that for granted now, almost. Almost. Yeah. Some people still like the old email files around, but it's slowly dying off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And number, what was it? Where are we on? Number seven?
That was number six. So you're up to number seven.
Yeah. So number seven, how about a website? Let's face it, even small businesses, they didn't always have a website in 2005. I still get a little surprised at times on some businesses that I come across that do have a website. I mean, like, I'll go right back to it. It happened today. There's a little mom and pop shop kind of place. I go when we get a car, we take this to this one place and let them tent the windows. We live in Florida. It's really hot. You always want the windows tinted. And I went to and called them today and asked them what the different options are. And they're like, oh, all the options are up on our website. I'm like, I didn't even think about this. I mean, these are people that just, I never like going there because, you know, there's always people standing around outside smoking and everything. And it's like, I never would have expected that. But it's not just having to stand up your own website. It's also what the options were that were available to you at the time. So when you think back to 2005, you know, you were a small business. You had to build a website yourself. I know I was getting those questions. I'm sure you were too, CJ, and a lot of our listeners were, where you had a friend that would call up and say, can you build a website for me? You're like, oh my God, I don't want to do this again. But, you know, now you've got these options where it's super easy to go get to have an engine or just to set up, sign up for something. Like WordPress is a very popular option, but there's tons of other options that are out there. There's tons of theming options that are out there and customization options that are out there, and being able to take advantage of sites that are out there and just kind of add some content and make it super easy. Or even, you know, a lot of people, I've seen some companies that just use Facebook, their Facebook page as their website to make it easy find. So
yeah,
the options today, they're so much easier and there's so much more abound than what we had 10 years ago.
Yeah, being able to do it yourself, you know, that's like...
It's great for you and me.
Yeah.
Stop calling me.
Yeah, being able to make edits to your own website without having to get a coder involved, you know?
Yeah.
That's a big deal. Big deal.
It's funny because when we go to stand up a site these days, sometimes I think that we overthink it when all you need is just a content site. And it's like, yeah, I just need to throw some stuff together. And it's like, oh, I need an engine. I'm going to go get Orchard. I'm like, wait a minute. Do I know what I'm doing here? Do I need this?
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. Nice. Yeah. Things have gotten tons easier in that regard.
Absolutely.
Cool. So that's number seven. Website's a whole lot easier. Number eight. This is kind of an interesting one because this is something sort of that this industry wasn't really software related. And it really is now, which is hiring help. So, for example, in the past, you might have had to go find a contractor or hire somebody full time to do a particular job, and you'd have to go place an ad or through word of mouth or something. And now there's tons of sites like Odesk and so forth that let you post a real short job description. It might be for a really menial thing, or it might be for a really complicated thing. And just finding either temporary help or, you know, however much help you need, right? And people of all different disciplines and skills and all that sort of stuff. And really, the labor market is now on demand, right? Yeah. You can find somebody to do a job in real time, you know, when you need it.
You really can. I mean, this was huge because, I mean, when I know we said go 10 years back, but even in 2009, when Ted Pass and I put together Critical Path Training and trying to get certain things done that we knew that either we had to do it ourselves, or we had to go find somebody to do it, or go find a company that would go do it. And the latter two options were pretty expensive, but the first option of just Ted and I doing it was also expensive because it was taking up time for us doing stuff that was revenue generating. And, you know, these days now, I don't think twice about, you know, I need help doing X or Y or whatever. I don't think twice about reaching out. And, you know, it's got this connotation of outsourcing or offshoring or whatever. And I think it's just such a, it's such a funny thing that people, there's a thread on Facebook from a friend that actually brought this up the other day, or brought this up recently, was saying, you know, can somebody recommend some offshoring companies? And to me, it's like, it's not an offshoring thing. It's just a reverse labor market. I want to go into a marketplace where if I need help getting something done, I want to dive in. I want to ask a few questions. I want to put a job out there, have some people apply for it. We interview on Skype. And we go from there. I mean, the gentleman that helps us, that produces the podcast for us, we found him through Upwork, which is the new brand for Odesk, put a job description out there, talked to a few different people. He put one together, and where he's located doesn't matter. He happens to be located in I believe it's Serbia, but where he's located doesn't matter. And in fact, it's funny because I get a lot of grief for this from some people about, you know, aren't you worried about you ship jobs out of your country or whatever? It's like, man, get with it. This is a global economy. You don't need, this is not about keeping jobs in the US or keeping jobs out or anything like that. It's, I'm getting more work done by taking, I don't want to say taking advantage, but being able to utilize other people's skill sets. What's different about the cloud today that's built this industry together is that it's no longer word of mouth. Now it's incredibly easy for me to reach out and say, I need some help doing X, Y, Z. And a bunch of people are jumping into that same marketplace looking for jobs saying, hey, I know X, Y, Z. Let's see who's asking for it. And I'll bid on the job and I'll try and get it. And we both come out happy. I mean, there's people that I've worked with on Updesk or Upwork who only get their revenue and their job, their work for their job through Upwork by just applying for jobs and getting different jobs. And I mean, that's some people, that's the only life that they've known too. I've got two people that I've worked with that's the only way they've worked coming out of university. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's really cool. Hey, and big shout out to our awesome producer of the show, Rade.
Oh yeah, Rade's awesome. Rade has... You guys have there. I wish I had kept the original MP3s. Or actually, I think I have them. But you should hear some of the original recordings of such a poor job CJ and I have done on some of our recordings, and the magician that Rade's done. He used to be your boss. I don't think he's your boss right now. But the interview that I did with Arpan Cha, my microphone got all screwed up.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh my! I remember calling you up and it was just like, "Hey, can we use this?" And you listened to it like, "Yeah, we can't use this at all. There's no way."
That's terrible. What are you talking about, Willis?
Arpan can't listen to this. So it's absolutely awesome. But it was funny hearing that he kind of slapped around Jeremy Thake a little bit for this podcast a couple weeks ago.
brilliant. So yeah, number eight, hiring help. Got a whole lot easier in an on-demand economy.
Okay, number nine, bud. You're up.
Okay, number nine. I would say this one is CapEx versus OpEx. So capital expenses versus operating expenses, or cash versus subscription. So I think, you know, this doesn't just go for businesses. This goes for personal lives too, where I guess this depends by country. The US seems very much further down this path than a lot of other countries, but you know, it used to be that people used to buy cars outright, and some people still do, but not in the States. it's your life is on subscription, buddy. Everything from cable TV to buying cars, and the same goes for business. Being able to, buy services rather than big capital outlays just got a whole lot, you know, makes running a small business a whole lot easier, because you don't have to have thousands and thousands of dollars up front for, you know, that dusty old server in the corner, right? It's you can pay by what you use monthly. So that goes for all sorts of services, right? Whether it be backup or your file sharing stuff or your email or what have you. It's all subscription based.
Servers. I mean, this one right here touches so many things. I look back at what I did as, I can call myself a small business, I guess, because I am a small business, although I'm a company of one. I look back, I remember when I was first doing SharePoint stuff as an independent, it was hard to run SharePoint on your local environment. I was doing stuff with farms, and so I remember spending like $4,000 or $5,000 building a server that was a silent machine that was just going to host virtual machines for me. I've still got that one. In fact, I've got two of those servers still sitting there. It's about like $8,000 or $9,000 worth of hardware. They're still running, and I still use them. But part of me uses them because it's sunk cost that I put in those guys. I put forth a ton of money. I put forth a bunch of money in them, and I can't just turn them off and not use them because they still work great. They're still super powerful, but I can't in good conscience just say I'm going to stop doing that because I've already spent the money there. Why would I go through and put money in the cloud? However, with hosted VMs. However, now I look at it and I'm just like, why, if I was doing this stuff from the get-go, like, why in the world would I make these huge investments? As a small business, you don't want to make the huge investments up front. I just simply want to pay for consumption. I want to pay for what I'm using. So if all of a sudden I come onto a month or 3 months where times are tough, I can cut back on my services and cut back on my expenses. And I don't have this, you know, huge payment that I've got to deal with, like a mortgage payment or something. You know, I'd like to be able to cut back on it, make it a little bit easier.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I guess this makes it a whole lot easier to get up and running without, you know, needing a ton of capital outlay. And this is how these little micropreneurs and solopreneurs and, you know, developers are creating these games and bits of software and things. You know, they wouldn't be able to do it. You know, they're doing it off a laptop in a cafe and that's it, right? And they wouldn't be able to do it if they needed gajillions of dollars up front to get set up. So number 9, cash out versus subscription. What about number 10? What do you got cooking for us?
This one, I guess, is a little bit close to home for me, but how did you do any kind of professional development, or how did you learn about new stuff, or how did you get caught up to speed on the new stuff that was going on and learn new skills and training and stuff? So around training and learning, everything has gone just so digital.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
And it's not just the going to digital side. It makes it easier for travel. It makes it easier for consumption. Books have gone digital. Videos are now, you don't have to buy a DVD set or something and have it shipped to you. Now everything is streamed online and it's on demand. When I want to read a book or when I need to see video help or I need to get help on something, I should be able to go find that information right away and get it. If I want to read a book on a Kindle, if I finish a book that I'm reading, I want to be able to go grab it right away. I can do that. I jump on my phone, find the book that I want, buy it, send it to my Kindle, shows up on my Kindle a few minutes later. That still blows me away. I did that this week and it still blows me away that it's that easy.
Oh, totally. I remember my first job at a university and I started and they had a library.
You know, you say that with such contempt.
Yeah, it's like, well, you know, when I say library, it was a few shelves of books, right? But it was, you know, that was the thing you did as you bought. As anybody in the office bought a book, they'd look at it and use it and read it or whatever. And then they'd put it up on the shelf and the next person could take a look at it. And then sometimes you'd go up to the shelf and you'd be like, dang it, somebody else has got that book on, you know, I don't know what it was, like VB6 or something at the time. Or, you know, it might have been after that or something along those lines, like early .NET books, I guess, back in 2005. So, and maybe it was missing and you'd be stuck.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You'd have to go try find the answer on the internet and things weren't quite as easy. You couldn't look up, you know, easy how-to videos and there was nothing like Pluralsight, which was, you know, basically all the training a developer would need under one subscription.
Yeah. I mean, we had, what were they called? News groups. And you have to go.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. They were awesome.
Ask a question in a news group. They were awesome. And it's funny how technology has tried to replace them and we still haven't gotten to a really good replacement for what we had with news groups, but oh well.
Yeah,
I digress.
Yeah, totally. No, news groups were great. You could sync them down and you keep them offline and stuff. It was awesome.
Oh yeah, it was a networked knowledge base. But no, we can't use network knowledge bases anymore. News groups aren't good. We have to go to online forums.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, YouTube was created in 2005. Like, so it's only 10 years ago.
Wow.
Crazy, huh?
It's crazy how fast stuff becomes such an integral part of your life.
And video on the internet really didn't properly exist before YouTube.
No.
Like, there was video on the internet, don't get me wrong, but YouTube made it easy.
Same thing with Apple, doing business on your phone. When did iPhone come out? 2007?
Yeah, I think it was 2007.
Yeah, so we've only been looking at 8 years that we've been able to really get business done on our phone, and it wasn't until the iPad that it really started to introduce the idea of tablets. I mean, I know that Microsoft had a tablet, but I had that big Tekra M4, you know, massive paperweight. I wouldn't exactly call that a tablet, but I mean, to me, you look at tablets today and it's like all that stuff came from the iPad. And I remember being one of the ones that looked at it and go, why in the world would you ever need this? Well, I don't know if I need it, but I damn sure don't want to be without it now. So
yeah, things have changed.
Absolutely.
Things have changed. So yeah, I guess that has really changed the world of training and reading, even just in, you know, both personal lives, but also definitely in business, the need for books and the way you consume training, for sure.
Absolutely.
There's our top 10. I think just running through the list again, number one, email. Number two, dusty server. Number three, backups and zip disks, or no backups at all. Number four, mobility and phones. Number five, software packages like finance and CRM systems. Number six, sharing and external sharing and things like that. Number seven, easy websites. Number eight, on demand and hiring help and assistance. Number nine, OPEX versus CAPEX. And number 10, training, books, and on-demand consumption digitally.
Bada bing.
There's our top 10 of what we think has changed the most in small business as it relates to what the cloud has enabled in the last 10 years.
I'd be curious to hear if any listeners have some of the, like, I can't believe you missed X.
Yeah, I bet there's an absolute, you know, total no-brainer that we've completely overlooked.
Oh God, at least one, probably, if not five. But I'd be really curious. I'd be curious to hear what some people think about it. So if you got any ideas, shoot them our way. We'd love to hear it.
Yeah, definitely. Cool bananas, I see.
All right, man. I'm done.
Have a good one.
Have a good one, bud.
If you have a question for us, go to microsoftcloudshow.com/questions, where you can submit it as text or record it as a WAV or MP3 and provide a link so we can play your question on the show. You can subscribe to us in iTunes by searching for Microsoft Cloud Show or via RSS at microsoftcloudshow.com, where you'll also find a full transcript and show notes of each episode. You can also find us on Facebook searching for Microsoft Cloud Show or on Twitter at MS Cloud Show. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.